Railjack Ruffians podcast. Please like, subscribe, and do all that good stuff. And remember, Tenno, a breath a day keeps the they heck away.
Look at what time it is. It's time for the Railjack Ruffians again. Welcome to episode one. So, I kind of want to start this podcast episode with a little bit of housekeeping from episode zero. Just answering a couple questions that we left unanswered last time. For example, we asked if the Unreal Tournament games were run on Evolution Engine or the Unreal Engine. Turns out they're actually run on Unreal. Who'da thunk it?
Wow. I would have never thought.
Yeah, Stardust was actually right. I can't believe it myself. So that's that. We also...
Wait, was that an insult?
We were also asking if when the Eximus rework was. Turns out it actually came with the Angels of the Zeraman update, which was... like mid-2022?
When was the original pet rework, where they no longer could just die and cease to exist from your account?
I did not look into that.
Okay, we'll have to do that another time.
I did look into when Companions 2.0 came in, and that came with Abyss of Dagoth.
That was the newer rework.
Right, fairly recent. So that's got the housekeeping out of the way. So, what we're going to be talking about today, today is going to be our first segment of D-News. D-News spelled D-E as in Digital Extremes, because funny.
We're nerds, if you didn't notice.
Yeah, I noticed. I'm observant like that, because I'm a nerd. So, for those of you who don't know, TennoCon recently happened, or at least recently for us, it was... what, 4 days ago?
Yeah.
Saturday. So, oh boy, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, just a little quick note, that stat they shared at the beginning I thought was pretty neat. With the adding of Warframe Mobile, they've actually brought on 700,000 new users.
Jeez.
700,000 new players.
For some games, that's like...
that's the whole game.
That's two or three games for some people, like their player base.
Five times what Halo Infinite has right now.
I think Helldivers 2 is sitting at around 55,000 right now, give or take.
Yeah. Now, they didn't give any stats on like how long they stuck around,
mm-hmm.
but 700,000 people, that's pretty cool.
So that's peak.
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure that's not peak concurrent, because that would
no,
be
no, no,
insane.
No, not peak, just like peak for like a set time period.
Right. Yeah.
That's impressive.
I was really excited about that. And along the lines of Warframe Mobile, they said Warframe Android is coming soon, TM. So no dates, no nothing about the progress there, but soon. Quote unquote. So
what that means is we're going to get Warframe on the Quest.
I doubt it. But it will be on Android. And I don't know. Maybe someone will make like a port or something.
I mean, technically, they did bring like Xbox Game Pass to Quest, so you could like play Warframe that way.
Do they have free games on Game Pass?
I don't know.
I kind of don't feel like it. But anyway. So another thing that happened at TennoCon, they had a cosplay competition, had a lot of different cool cosplays. One guy made a Void rig from cardboard, and it looked realistic.
I have not seen this. The only one I saw was the cosplay of Arthur.
Yeah, that was a professional. He wasn't in the cosplay competition.
Okay, he was just kind of there for like a promotional thing.
Right. That was Lightning cosplay, I believe.
I liked the overall cosplay. I just kind of wish they had done the hair a little bit. The hair looked too stiff and weird.
Yeah, I mean, Arthur's hair is kind of stiff and weird, too.
I mean, yeah, but, like, I just feel like it didn't have the entirely desired effect they were after.
Right.
Like, they caked up the hairspray or something.
Yeah. So, they had the Void Rig, which was very impressive. By far, the coolest one there. And then they had one person who dressed up as Yureli, and Yureli won. Not because she was better, but I don't know. The Void Rig was cooler, and if you were watching chat at the time, everyone was putting in the chat hashtag Void Rigged, because the Void Rig really did deserve to win that competition. It was insane. Soulframe. I didn't really pay much attention to what they were talking about with Soulframe, but everyone who attended TennoCon in person got accepted into the Preludes program, which is their open beta, or closed beta, sorry. So, wish I could have been there, but I wasn't.
Where was it held this year?
London, Ontario.
Oh.
That's where they do it every year.
Wait, London, like, what?
Ontario, Canada.
Oh, Canada. Okay, I was very confused for a moment.
Oh, yeah. Canada.
That's actually doable. I was about to say, if it was London, I was like, ooh, that's
yeah, that's don't want to get stabbed.
Expansive
no stabbings for us. Also, when they did TennoCon, side by side, they did a release with the Ember Heirloom skin.
Oh, yes. Can I just say how much I absolutely love whatever the, like, material is for the emissive slash looks like the stars bottled in a jar kind of material, you know?
Very cool. They totally fixed how Heirloom was done. The pricing was absolutely outrageous the first time they did it. Now they put it at, like, an acceptable price.
Did you get the whole bundle?
Yes, I got the whole...
Yeah, I got the whole bundle.
I got the whole bundle, and I bought the Ember Prime pack as well, since it was available, and it has the Glaive Prime, which used to be undeniably the best melee weapon in the game.
How much was the Ember Prime pack?
It was like 7 Regalia. I can't remember. Ooh. I had 13 in my account.
Oh, okay, so you already had some Regalia, so that was like a no-brainer.
Yeah. So, Ember Heirloom, very cool. Oh, they announced the Rhino Heirloom skin is coming next.
Okay.
So, very cool there.
Oh, yeah, I saw the concept art of that.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings.
Yeah, we'll see how it is once they actually get it. When they finalize it.
Well, yeah, because, like, it's in development right now, so what if they, like, up and change their mind or something? You know, we don't know what it's actually going to look like.
Yeah. They also announced Warframe's going to be going to the Tokyo Game Show September 28th and 29th, which we'll talk about again in a second here. They also announced that they are working on cross-platform trading. They're looking at expanding it somehow. They didn't really give many details.
I was going to say, I thought we had cross-platform trading.
Yeah, they said they're going to expand it.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what they meant by that. But they did say if they didn't give us news on it soon, then Steve Sinclair, the CEO of Digital Extremes, is going to write a 10-page apology letter.
I loved how during the event everybody's going, Steve, 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 Steve,
Steve, Steve. Steve. Of course, it started with Pablo because Pablo is awesome. He is the quality of life man and the reworking master.
And they really loved it when what did he say? Something about like 100-something thousand?
They were doing the Power Plat giveaways, which is 100,000 platinum, which is an insane amount. And Pablo was joking about making it 1 million to adjust for inflation.
Yeah, that was it.
And turns out people like that. So, they actually talked about the next 3 updates that are coming to Warframe.
Yeah, which, sadly, 1999 is like on the tail end of those, isn't it?
Yes.
No!
But all of them are coming this year. So we will have all of them, including 1999, this year.
And 1999 is supposed to happen by winter, right?
Yes.
Yeah!
We'll get more into 1999 towards the end. So they talked about the next update a little bit. It's called the Lotus Eaters. It is going to be a prologue-style quest leading into 1999. So it's going to be a short story quest. They didn't really reveal a whole lot about it, but they did show the graphic of the Lotus in the Entrati Lab tile set, kind of staring out into the void. Not like the void, but like, you know, the man in the wall area. which was pretty cool. A couple things they did talk about was coming with the update, which also releases this August, so okay, within the next month.
Also, will this be the first quest that has like two prologue missions? Because we have Whispers in the Walls.
I'm not sure I would consider
consider parts of it, because Whispers in the Walls introduced us to like the world of 1999.
True, but also the new war had Apostasy Prologue, and it had the Sacrifice, which introduced the build-up to the new war.
Okay.
So, yeah, I wouldn't say that it was the first, no. They also announced that the next Prime is going to be coming out with the update. It is going to be Sevagoth Prime with the Epitaph Prime, which
I'm excited about the Epitaph.
Right. The Epitaph is it's really just a fun weapon to use. Mm-hmm. For those of you who haven't used it, it's a wrist-mounted disc launcher, but the discs explode in an AoE. It has a huge status chance, so it's a very good primer, but you can also charge up a shot, and it fires like a single non-explosive projectile that does a lot of damage.
Yeah.
So that has a lot of potential. Also, the Nautilus Prime is going to be coming with that update as well. So after that, they're going to have the quote-unquote unannounced 2024 update.
Right.
That is the name.
Announced, unannounced.
Yeah.
Would you say announced, unannounced, or unannounced, announced?
I would say announced, unannounced.
Yeah, announced, unannounced. Because they announced that it's unannounced.
It's like Unspoken Playlist. How has it been spoken if you spoke it?
Right. So they said they're going to be going into more detail on it at Tokyo Game Show. So that's going to be in September 28th to 29th. So we know it's not coming out before then. But it has a couple things coming with it. For example, for a certain period after that goes live, everyone who logs in will get a free Caliban.
Okay.
Caliban absolutely free just for logging in for some period of time after that goes live.
What is that?
Caliban?
Yes.
Caliban's a Warframe.
Oh.
Speaking of freebies, I hope everybody who's listening got their free, what was it, AX-52 and Saren Prime. I think it's 52.
Yeah.
AX-52 and Saren Prime from watching the live stream getting the Twitch drops.
Guess which one of us didn't?
They did say they will provide a way to get the AX-52 after for those who didn't. It's impressive. We'll need to touch on that later.
Yeah, it's a fun little rifle. But yeah, so with the unannounced update, the reason they're giving us a free Caliban is because, drumroll please, Caliban rework!
Yay!
Which is good because Caliban is one of the worst Warframes in the game, so I'm
okay, is he worse than pre-rework Hydroid?
I would say yes.
I was about to ask the same thing.
Because at least Hydroid could still be used for farming back then.
Mm-hmm.
Caliban has pretty much no use whatsoever. But they're going to be doing a rework for this update. They're also going to be giving him a deluxe skin, okay, which is conquistador themed, and it looks amazing.
Ooh.
It looks so cool. I'm really excited for that.
I really want to see that. Was it just concept art or like a full
skin? No, it was full in-game model.
Oh, nice.
It
yeah,
looks
I
really
want to see
good.
That.
They also said there's going to be some other unannounced deluxe skin coming with that update. They didn't say what it was, but yeah, so they showed a little tiny video clip of the Caliban rework. They didn't really show much. The only thing I noticed was Caliban has an ability called Progenies, where he summons sentient fighters to help him. He can summon up to three, but you have to cast it three times to get your three Progenies,
okay,
or Prodigies. And in the video they showed, he did one cast that called all of them in. So that's the only thing that I saw specifically changed in that. But a quality of life that they're adding with this update as well is item favorites. So
yeah,
you can go into your arsenal. Anything that you equip in your arsenal, you can choose it to be a favorite, and it will come to the top of every list. That goes for Warframes, weapons, cosmetics, anything you can favorite now.
Ooh.
That's
or you
that's
will
be
able
very
to favorite.
Handy.
So a nice little quality of life thing. They're also going to be adding 5 new Incarnan weapons.
Hey.
They didn't say which one it is, but it sounds like it's not going to be the Stug.
Okay, what's an Incarnan you would like to see?
Ooh, Incarnan I'd like to see. No particular reason on... Well, I want to see the Estilla get a Incarnan. Mm-hmm. Just because of the sound, I used to use the Estilla Prime a lot. It used to be my go-to primary weapon just because it sounds so good.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, I used to think it did good damage. It really didn't, though. But I would like to see that get an Incarnan.
I would like either, and I may mess up the pronunciation, the Skiajati?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Or the AX-52.
You know, I hadn't considered that as being a possibility since it's so new, but it may get one.
I figure it'll get one eventually, maybe.
It seems pretty strong already. Like, it's not like top tier, but it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Oh my goodness, what is the prime version of that thing going to look like?
That's a good question.
But
I don't know.
But do you agree the Skiajati would be a nice pick, especially with its perks?
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to do it since it's a quest item.
Yeah.
But it could... That would be neat. Jacob, do you have any weapons that you like using that you might like an Incarnan?
I don't know what an Incarnan is.
Basically, it's a weapon that after you meet some sort of requirement can evolve into like a secondary form. For example, the Latum is an Incarnan weapon. It's a semi-auto pistol normally, but after you get a certain number of headshots, you can transform it into a fully auto, like, explosives launcher, and it's very powerful, and Incarnans are all good. Not all of them are as good as others, but they are all good.
Are they all guns and projectiles?
No, you can have primaries, secondaries, melees, anything can be an Incarnan as long as it's
I know
a
for a fact if there was something I think of, it'd be melee weapons, because I prefer to just use my melee weapon all the time.
Right, they do have a couple melee Incarnans. The Inodim is a dagger. It's a lot of fun.
But I don't know. I can't really think of what I mostly use right now. Yeah, right. But it would be a melee if I was going to choose one.
This is a curiosity, not a suggestion per se. What do you think Incarnan Warframes would look like if that were a thing?
Yeah, I feel like that would be sort of like an Equinox or maybe a Sevagoth, where when you transform, you get a whole new set of abilities.
Yeah, yeah. That would be cool, honestly. Even if it was just one Warframe that was themed around the Incarnan system. I would hope you could... unlock the Warframe normally, have a Prime version, but then also have, like, a separate Equinox.
Oh, Equinox. Like, as a separate variant, not as, like,
yeah,
a base
but, well,
part.
Because that would stay true to how Incarnans work. True. I wouldn't want it to just be an Incarnan from the get-go, per se. I want you to have to, like, get the normal version and then convert it into an Incarnan.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah. So not having it as, like, a natural ability, but, like, once you get it to, like,
yeah.
level
like
30
it,
or
it,
something.
It will still be kind of themed, but you won't get the full Incarnan shebang until you actually... And you could even make it, like, part of a story quest where in the story it becomes an Incarnan and it gets these new abilities.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
I think that'd be kind of cool, actually. That and Incarnan arc weapons.
True. You really don't use arc weapons a whole lot, though.
That's true.
Which is unfortunate, because there are some cool ones out there.
Yeah.
Another thing they're bringing with the unannounced update is Companions 2.0 Part 2.
Part 2. So not 3.0, Part 2.
Right. So...
2.5.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah. So in Abyss of Dagoth, they brought... sort of immortality mm-hmm. back to the companions. They can be revived. It's very nice.
Yeah.
But this next update is going to be focused on the abilities of each companion. Ooh. And making sure you have a reason to use each companion. Like Kubros. There's not a whole lot of meta reasons to use a Kubro.
No, it's mainly Kavats, isn't it? Because like they're the ones that help you get item drops.
Right, the Smita Kavat, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's the Adarza Kavat, if I remember correctly, helps you it can like give you crits,
mm-hmm.
if I remember correctly.
I'd also like if they would add specifically stealth related options. Like you know, your Kuroo or pet or whatever is trained to, like, you know, like, it'll help you stay quiet when you're in stealth. Like, if there's an enemy you miss, it will go pounce on them and, like, take them down so they don't sound the alarm.
The shade can make you invisible.
Yeah, but I mean, like, as far as behavioral. Because, you know, a lot of games, like, if you have, like, an AI companion of some sort, like, imagine you're in Fallout, your companion is going to be what trips the alarm.
Hmm. Something to think about.
Yeah.
They're also going to be adding a new Warframe with that update. Okay. They didn't say anything really about it. Pablo just said it was pretty unique. Didn't really go into anything more than that.
Part of me hopes it has something to do with the new music.
Get into that.
I'm not saying any more than that.
I think it's going to be too early for it to have anything to do with that.
But it would be so cool. Can you imagine a Warframe based on that?
I mean, there's Octavia.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah, true.
You want to make guesses on what it could possibly be?
What if they finally do a spider frame? Mitchell, do you have any thoughts on, like, any kind of theme or style for a Warframe that you think would be cool or fit, or just any neat ideas that you would like in there somehow?
I don't have any idea as to what all of the Warframes are, so I'm gonna tell you what I would like to see, but it might already exist. But I will have to think about it. So you may want to come back to me in about 2 minutes after I have a little bit of thought, unless we're moving on to something right after this.
Well, hopefully Jacob is going to take 2 minutes to explain what he's expecting / wanting.
Sounds good.
I mean, you said it's like a spiral Warframe. Honestly, any animal Warframe, I think, would be cool. Like, I'm not exactly sure what we already have. Like, do we have, like,
Varuna?
Yeah, that's a wolf thing.
Is that, though, like, the only animal we have? Or?
Let's see. I feel like we have more. Chroma is dragon-themed.
Oh, dang it. I was thinking, like, dragon, honestly.
Would you consider Yareli jellyfish-themed, or would that be Ivara Prime?
I don't know. I'm not sure I'd consider her jellyfish.
She's just kind of aquatic-themed.
Wait a minute, is there a phoenix theme?
No, we don't have.
I think mythical creatures, like, would be cool.
I mean, the closest we got to that is Ember.
Damn!
But she's not very bird.
Yeah. I think any kind of mythical creature frame would be cool.
We do have two cat-themed Warframes.
Yeah.
I'm more of a doll fan myself.
True. Varuna. But
animals, I think, just in general, would be cool.
Rhinoceros-themed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Rhino.
Also, if you use that other skin, bug-themed.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the beetle-skinned.
Yeah, Death Watch.
Yeah, the Death Watch skin. That's its name.
It could be a rhino beetle.
Okay. I would imagine there's some that's magma-based. Is there one that's magma-based?
Actually,
we have fire, not magma.
Not magma.
I think magma would be pretty cool. Just, I guess, giving a new aesthetic to a fire Warframe, but also potentially making it so that it has different status conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine
if it had weapons that were like part magma, part obsidian.
That'd be cool. I was also thinking maybe a mummy style Warframe.
We have Inaros. He's Egyptian themed. He's not exactly a mummy.
I would imagine there's already an ice themed.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's pretty much a given if you're going to do anything elemental wise.
What's that one that turns into a skeleton?
Zaku.
That's kind of close to a mummy. It's just without the wraps.
Although Zaku's more of a junkyard theme.
Yeah, he's they.
Well, I don't even think Zaku's supposed to be any form of sentience, because Zaku's supposed to be like parts from other Warframes.
Right. It's three Warframes mashed together,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
I would also guess there's already Warframe that deals in portals.
But not like in a movement sense.
Have Nova. Nova has movement portals, but
also Limbo.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
But that's a little different.
I wouldn't call that portals.
Okay.
I would definitely think portals would be distinct.
Not in the sense like are we talking like split gate level kind of portals?
Or like portal
Portals?
Well, you know what I mean.
Wisp technically has portals, but in the sense of, like, she just funnels the sun through a portal as a weapon.
Right.
Or, and the last one that I thought about would be a multiplication warframe.
We have one that died because of math.
We don't have any that multiply. There
but,
are several
but we do have one that makes a clone.
Yeah, we have a couple that do clones, but only, let's see, I can only think of one that's like a fully functioning clone.
Is there one that you could clone and a teammate could make you multiply that clone?
Not that I know of, no. Wukong can make a clone. That's the only functional one I can think of, though.
It might be a spoiler to say this, but also one of them died because of math.
Yeah, when you said multiplication theme, I thought you meant like math, and I was like, oh, Limbo, he mathed himself to death.
There is one more thing that I thought about while sitting here. The rest were kind of filler. I thought they would be neat, but what if you had one that has abilities that would allow it to turn enemies to stone temporarily or turn them to stone that would make them weaker?
Atlas. Stone-themed warframe, he can petrify enemies.
Cool.
He can also summon, quote-unquote, rumblers, which are rock golems that follow him around and fight enemies for him.
Okay, that is so funny. Okay, I kind of vaguely want...
Rock monster!
That, but...
I forgot lobster myself.
And I don't know if we would ever get any kind of collab on this, but a sound wave-ish themed skin for Atlas, because rumbles. For anyone who's a Transformers fan, Soundwave had these little minions called Rumble. They were like little smaller robots that popped out of his chest and would go do things.
Gotcha. I never really did much with Transformers.
Same.
There's some good stuff.
Yeah.
Not a Cars fan.
Yeah, so they also announced another Warframe that's going to be coming, not with the unannounced 2024 update, but with 1999.
So do we think this one's going to be themed?
No, this one is Site-09, who is a commander-themed warframe.
Oh, it's that one. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, so technically, is it spoilers to say that he's...
We'll get into that.
Okay.
But Site-09 had some very cool concept art. We don't really know a whole lot about his abilities, or really much of anything, but he does seem like commander themed, so I'm excited about that. So, 1999.
Oh yeah.
Raise your hand if you're excited for 1999. If you're driving listening to this podcast, raise both of your hands into the air off the wheel and go, "Woo, 1999!"
So first and foremost, before we get into this, what was your emotional response to seeing 1999 on the live stream, seeing the devs play a small sample of it?
It was a wild ride.
Yeah, I was thoroughly impressed.
Yes, I am super stoked for what's coming up. So let's go ahead and kind of get into it. So here's something. When they release 1999, they're actually going to do a anime short about 1999.
I am excited about that.
So I know some people are going to be happy about that.
I really like the characters so far in 1999.
Yeah, they seem all right. But we'll get into that in a minute here. One thing that I thought was super cool, they had to bring on a lot of voice actors for this. And one of the voice actors they got was a guy by the name of James Conlon. He had never done any voice acting before. He actually is a Make-A-Wish kid who got his wish granted to be a voice actor in Warframe.
Cool.
And it is super cool. I am so happy about that. He plays Ollie is his name. He's, well, kind of, sort of, spoilers, but he is a character in an arcade game.
Wait, is that the guy that was in the relay?
You can't handle the heat. That guy.
I don't know if it might have been, he was playing the game.
No, he was one of the voice actors inside the arcade
game. I didn't hear that.
Anyway, super cool. I thought that was awesome. But yeah, so James Conlon, super cool. Also, as Jacob mentioned a couple times, DE actually opened up a relay at a mall. The name of the mall is Hulvania Central Mall.
And I love it.
It is super cool. We'll get into what all's there a little later. Okay, so here is where we're going to start getting into spoiler territory.
Leave if, now!
Leave. Everyone leave. Even if you are okay with spoilers, just
get
leave.
Out,
no, no one listen to this podcast. Okay.
Come back when it's over.
Now that no one is here anymore, let's talk about spoilers. So, this is when they start actually getting into the gameplay of 1999. When they boot up the gameplay, it starts off by playing a song. And this song is called Party of Your Lifetime by the boy band Online.
Totally not at all related to NSYNC.
Right.
Or Backstreet Boys.
It's more like NSYNC.
Okay, so it starts off with that song, Party of Your Lifetime, which is a banger.
Oh, yeah.
I listen to it in my free time. It's
very I kind of wonder if they bang their head into a wall when writing it.
It already has 380,000 views
good
on YouTube.
Good night.
Needs
it's,
more.
It's really catchy.
How many of y'all were actually born in the 90s at least?
None of us.
I am.
Yeah, none of us.
I was
you're
born
the only one.
2000.
I was born in 2000.
2001.
Hey. Watch it, mister.
See, so I'm 97, so I'm actually...
You're 97?
Man.
You looking good for your age.
I thought that you were 97, but I didn't want to be rude.
Moisturize?
Anyway, I'm born in 97.
Oh.
So I actually know, and I have listened to the boy bands, not by choice, even though some of them have some bangers like Bye Bye Bye.
That, I hate that one.
Oh, I love that one.
Awful.
You're awful. So I like it. I don't know. I might like it more than they do, but
I like it a lot.
Yeah, I like it. It's just it's fun.
Not a 90s kid, as some people say, but I feel like I think in my heart I am a 90s kid.
Right. So after it plays that song, it shows Arthur. Arthur is the quote unquote proto Excalibur.
Also, so far, my favorite character.
Yes, he's very cool, and I'm totally shocked and surprised that you love Excalibur.
He's flipping awesome. He's got the sword. He's got that flipping, like, little bit of, like, the mustache and the samurai hair. He looks cool.
So, it opens with a shot of Arthur, who is basically the predecessor to modern-day Excalibur.
I'm very curious to learn like the story of events on how that happened.
Right. We'll I'm sure we'll find out more. So it's showing Arthur and he's looking at his hand and all of a sudden a bunch of void energy surrounds his hand and it seems to gain a mind of its own and it goes and types on the keyboard. Types on the keyboard. I had to see if there was something.
Double check. Make sure you just didn't stop the recording. Okay, we're good. Maybe put it back on Google.
Starts typing away at the keyboard furiously. When it starts doing it, Arthur actually says, "Not again." So obviously this has happened before, which is interesting. I'm sure they'll dive more into that. But the message it types gives a time and location to be, and it says, "Don't be late." Which... of course, we recognize Albrecht and Trotty coming in Whispers in the Walls and saying, "You are late." So, correlation.
Also, just in character, like, the way it says, "Don't be late," for some reason makes me think of the Man in the Wall.
It could be. It is abbreviated, though. It doesn't spell out, "Don't be late." It's DNT, the letter B, and then L8.
That makes it feel even more like the Man of the Wall, because he's kind of cheeky like that, isn't he?
I don't know, maybe.
We got texting in Warframe.
Yes, we do. And we'll dive what? Into... We'll,
I was joking!
No. It's not... We'll get into that in
well,
a
isn't
second.
That more email?
It's like instant messaging.
Instant messaging.
We'll get into
same,
that in
same
a minute.
Difference.
Spoilers.
Okay, yeah,
you didn't
totally,
know what you
I
were,
totally knew that.
You didn't know what you were getting into when you mentioned that.
None of you did.
So, I also noticed this clip is in this mall relay that you can go and look at now. In the mall, the band Online is promoting a certain pizza brand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's significant, Maybe it's a way to spread something. Just a thought.
Well, it's not related to that, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, it's a thought. It's a thought. Or does it mean Warframe's going to come out and do a pizza deal in real life?
Yes, please. Domino's or
oh, my
something.
Goodness. Imagine Domino's.
FNAF did that.
Eat your pizza like it's 1999.
No. Pizza. Ninjas eat free.
Yeah. So Arthur gets up and he decides that he needs to talk to the other people in the mall. And the mall looks pretty much abandoned, except for a handful of people. He walks over, and there's a little arcade section in the mall, and there's someone in there running around really fast, playing multiple games at the same time. His name is Amir, and he is the Proto-Volt.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, wait, I thought he was Proto-Goss. Is he Proto-Volt?
He's Proto-Volt.
Oh, because, yeah, the electric arcs.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And also, it's original Warframes.
That's right.
Right. So he goes over, talks to Amir for a little bit. He's got a pretty typical, like, speedster type attitude. Like, just kind of flippant and, yeah, fast.
Typical kind of speedster-esque personality.
Yeah. So he talks to Amir and mentions the message. And he says that it's a lead to Albrecht and Trotty. So, obviously, Arthur knows that that message he got from his hand is connected to Albrecht and Trotty.
Okay, so that would mean it's more Albrecht and Trotty, less Man in the Wall.
Or at least he thinks it is.
Okay.
We don't know for sure.
But we know it has some connection to Entrati.
Right. So then he goes and talks to Owie. Owie is a funny name.
Owie, second favorite character so far.
Owie is Proto Mag. She is the predecessor
to
Mag.
Is that the one?
She has a really cool haircut.
No.
Would you agree that she has one of the cooler haircuts?
She has a unique haircut.
Yeah.
I would not have that haircut.
She plays with cards.
She does. But they're metal cards.
Yeah. And she occasionally turns them into a metal blob.
Yes. She seems pretty cool. She's got a generally confident type personality style.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to tell who's who. What is that one doing?
Playing with the cards and the spheres of metal.
Like, are they like sitting on something?
Sitting on a table.
Is that the one like upstairs?
No, she's downstairs.
Downstairs, yeah.
Does she have a sister named Ouchie?
No.
Healy.
I wanted to contribute something, so I did.
How dare you try and contribute? You're the laughing stock of this podcast.
You're not supposed to talk on here.
Yeah.
Supposed to sit in the corner and
feel bad about yourself.
Go to the corner.
No.
Fine, be that way. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention the whole reason that Arthur's walking around is he's trying to find his Atomy Cycle keys, which we'll get into in a second.
Atomy Cycle?
Atomy Cycle.
Sounds like Tommy to me.
Atomy. Anyway, so he walks over and there's a guy. His name is Quincy. He's got a rifle and he's shooting posters of Albrecht and Trotty, which to me suggest they definitely have it out for Albrecht and Trotty and they don't like him. So we don't know exactly why at the moment.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, what has he done?
Yeah, what did he do? What did you do?
Because...
And darn,
is it spoilers if I talk about events in Whisper of the Walls?
Yeah, we're in spoiler territory
here. So we know there was some kind of time travel thing he did to get away from, what did he call it, like the Maw or what he called it? What did he call like the voice or the void tongue or whatever?
I can't remember his term.
There was like a being he was trying to escape, and so he went back to a time before it shouldn't be able to follow him, in theory.
Yeah.
So, what did he do after going there? Because just showing up alone, I don't think would incur this kind of, like, oh, we need to target him. And I'm assuming these guys are some kind of related to the government at the time?
We're not sure. But we do know there are posters of Albrecht and Trotty. So, obviously, he's a well-known figure of some kind.
Yeah.
What for? Don't know. We'll find out. So... Arthur goes to Quincy. Quincy is the Proto Site 09, which is a Warframe that hasn't been released yet, so we don't know what all that entails. But Quincy's got like the quote-unquote bad boy attitude, you know, like doesn't play by the rules, yada, yada, yada.
I mean, to be fair, he kind of just has an attitude.
Yeah, yeah, that too.
And doesn't he kind of like not get along with Arthur?
Yeah, he seems pretty snippy.
Yeah, he's very snippy.
Yeah.
He's Wolverine for Marvel fans out there.
Nah, he's way different. Here's
Wolverine.
We know. The attitude.
No. This would be the guy. This would be like the young kid that Wolverine gets ticked off at.
But that okay. I'll agree with you.
So he asks Quincy if he's seen his Atomi Cycle keys, and he's like, "I haven't seen them. Buzz off." He's like, okay.
That sounds like Wolverine to me.
I don't know. So he walks and he's like, someone's grabbed my Atomi Cycle keys. So he walks over and finds Letitia. Was it Letitia?
Think.
Letitia?
We'll go with the first one.
I can't remember how it's pronounced. But she is Proto-Trinity. All of these Warframes I've mentioned, except for Site 09, were part of the original 8 Warframes when Warframe was first released. So Trinity has a rat that she keeps with her. Not sure if it's like a pet or what's going
on. Oh, I know you don't know.
Yeah. Not sure what's going on there, but she's obviously a healer. She seemed like maybe a little bit short-tempered, but there's one more. There's Eleanor. Eleanor is the proto-Nyx. Now, she's laying down on a couch and appears to be in maybe a somewhat weakened state, but she is psychic and can communicate psychically with the other people.
That's why her mouth didn't move. I was wondering why her mouth wasn't moving.
Right. So, she's a little weird. She may have been affected by the void somehow, or maybe the man in the wall. I don't know. I'm just throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks.
I'm still there's just a few things that she said while we were in that area.
Right.
That just made me think man in the wall.
Yeah.
There's some mashed potatoes up against the wall?
No, it's spaghetti. And see if the noodles stick. But turns out Eleanor was the one who took Arthur's keys. She doesn't explain why. Arthur doesn't ask why. He just takes the keys and goes to his Atomi
Cycle. Because men don't ask questions for some reason.
But the Atomi Cycle. The Atomi Cycle is a motorcycle that you can ride.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
In whatever this Hulvania area is. It looks very fun. You can do tricks on it. You can summon it anywhere. Like
you can use it as a weapon?
Yeah, you can like do a launching dismount and it like it appears to explode on impact.
Does it look cooler than the hoverboard?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's real cool. So, Atomi Cycle, very cool. Anyway, all these people make up the new syndicate called the Hex. And here's where they announce something that...
Oh, boy.
You never thought you would get to hear from Warframe.
I'm not going to say, like, not like this. I'm not going to say some of these game functions might not exist as, like, there's a character that this could happen, but not like this.
So, Arthur goes to his computer.
Strap in.
Arthur goes to his computer, and he opens a messaging app. And they reveal that they now have, they will be adding with 1999, dating sim components.
Yay.
So yay. Each of the proto characters that we have discussed before, you will be able to build a relationship and romance. Yay. and have a dating chat in the app.
Warframe dating sim.
Ooh.
I could have seen that as a meme, like, in there with Frame Fighter or something. Like, another little game like that you could pick up. Like, imagine it's like a Tamagotchi or something.
Tamagotchi on the thing. Is Tamagotchi.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced it. Tamagotchi, however you pronounce it. Pick that sucker up, and it'd be a dating sim. But no, it's this.
Warframe dating sim.
But I think it'd be fun, though.
It's hilarious, whatever it is.
It sounds like to me they're just doing what sounds like it will make it more appealing for a more broad audience. Same with like bringing it to phone, it reaches more people.
Either I that think, or they're trying to make a joke about the 1990s or something.
Either that or they're thinking about getting a couple of more people that wouldn't normally play the game on there.
Yeah, the problem with that is that it's so far down in the storyline that it would take forever for a new player to actually get to that part in the story.
So you have to wait to access it until you progress.
Oh, yeah. It's way down in the storyline.
Gotcha.
Because there's a lot of stuff you have to get past. Otherwise, it'd be spoilers.
Right. There's lots of prerequisites.
Would you say you almost have to be nearing in-game to get to this?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you have to have done Whispers in the Walls.
Okay, so yeah, you've got to be in-game to get to this. Mid to end.
Warframe dating sim.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, just had to say that. Anyway, small thing that they specifically mentioned is that you can also have Arthur as a romance option. So it means you're not doing it from the perspective of Arthur. It's presumably going to be from the perspective of your operator. So
is it going to be your operator, or are you going to get to pick any of the protos to play as? So what if you can play as the different characters?
It's a good question. I'm not sure, actually.
I'll say 50-50.
Yeah. We'll find out when they release it in 1999.
Now, are you saying the dating sim is going to be a random person, or is it going to be an operator?
It's either going to be your operator, or you're going to be able to pick one of those proto frames to play as.
Hey, I'd rather be your operator.
Yeah, I feel like that's the most likely thing, but I don't know for sure.
This was definitely not on the top list of things I expected to see in the game at any point. It's just unexpected.
Later, we're going to get to things that we thought were going to be in the game.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's that. But after they mention that whole thing, Arthur goes back out to the garage. He's getting on his Atami cycle, and all the rest of the syndicate shows up and they're like, hey, you're not going to hunt down Albrecht and Trotty without us, are you? And he was like, well, okay. Trinity and Eleanor, y'all stay back. And then the rest of us are going to go out and try and find them. I'm just theorizing here, but I kind of feel like maybe Arthur doesn't trust Eleanor because of her weird psychicness.
Eleanor was the one with the rat.
No, Eleanor was Nyx.
Oh, Eleanor. Who was the one with the rat? That's the one you had our time counseling.
That's why I'm calling her Trinity.
Well, doesn't trust or think she's compromised or she's wounded.
I think it's because she's psychic, honestly.
She was wounded, I think she mentioned, but I think she's recovered.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just speculating that maybe he doesn't trust her.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because she's psychic and she can read minds.
Most of this is speculation.
Yeah. And he didn't say anything to that point. He just said, hey, you two stay back here and guard, make sure the generators keep running.
Yeah, we're trying to like read the nonverbals.
Right.
In between the lines.
But they all know about Entrati and they all seem to have an axe grind with them. So, again, what did he do? We don't know. We won't find out.
So, or was it something he didn't do? Dun, dun, dun.
So, they all grab their Atami cycles. Except for Amir, Volt. He just runs, because he's Volt, obviously. Then they go through the town a little bit, and they run into an enemy. Can't remember her name, but she appears to be maybe like a proto-Grenier, perhaps. She was very toxin-corrosive type.
Also, some of the other like soldiers really gave me like kind of the Grenier feel.
Right. Yeah, they were pre-genetic breakdown Grenier.
Yeah.
Because they looked pretty much like normal humans for the most part.
Well, I mean,
part.
Most of the soldiers, you really didn't see them because of their armor.
Yeah. But the commander was pretty clearly human. So as they're going through, Quincy actually snipes one of the enemies that was about to attack Arthur. And up till that point, you didn't actually see any of the other protoframes there. So I'm wondering if maybe if you don't have a full squad, if some of the protoframes will be like support helping you out. I think that would be cool.
That would be really cool.
To have like a full squad, even if you don't have, you know, four people in total.
If you don't have friends.
Stardust. anyway, so
I'm gonna just eat my plantain over here.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you can fill out your squad with
fill
NPCs.
Out what?
Your squad, cool. Your crew, cool. NPCs.
It was something about Stardust not having any friends that got me excited to run up to the mic. So I was gonna say something, but now I forgot it because he started.
I said I was gonna eat my plantains.
Oh, I thought you had bananas. Anyway, continue.
I thought I had bananas too, but y'all were.
No. I said
we're
that.
So poor.
I said that specific thing you wrote your name on was not a banana.
You're so poor that you had to buy the expensive plantains.
Shh. Back to you.
Oh, well, okay.
I don't know how much time we have.
For the weather.
Now for the weather. It's 72 degrees Celsius and we're all dead. So then they go on and show a boss battle that looks super cool. You actually get to fight a legit tank. A tank just comes out and starts shooting at you and it's super cool. Also, I don't know if you really thought about the implications of this, but during the tank fight, Arthur picks up an RPG.
That was the part I was excited about.
In the middle
about.
Of the fight, which, you know, that's cool. You get an RPG, but also it shows that you swapped weapons
uh-huh.
in the middle of a mission without uh-huh. doing any, like, arsenal or anything. It just randomly there was an RPG there that you could pick
it,
up.
It also showed you acquiring a weapon and or upgrade.
Right. Yeah.
Progression question mark?
It could be, yeah. You might be able to acquire weapons.
Imagine getting a Tommy Cycle upgrades.
Yeah, that could be cool. They are gonna have a Tommy Cycle skins.
Okay.
So then after the tank was defeated, the ground collapsed underneath Arthur, and Eleanor Nyx showed up in like some sort of psychic communication. She seems like maybe she can see a little bit into the future because she said that something to the effect of Entrati's here, and then Arthur wakes up and lo and behold, there's Entrati, and Arthur pulls out his sidearm, his little hand cannon type thing, and right before he can use it, Entrati just disappears into mist. But a giant crater has opened up, and it shows a tunnel going into the Tekrot. The Tekrot appears to be the infestation before the infestation was cool.
Oh, yeah.
And it's definitely more technological. It takes over electrical things, screens and speakers and, like, electrical wires.
In the relay where we were looking around the map, I noticed at least one, maybe two situations where it looked like the plants were drawn to box, like electrical boxes that was been like, you know, where the power was connected to the building. And there would also often be like a colored flower there that was glowing really brightly. And it makes me think that it really feeds on power. Not like, so that makes me wonder if there's something where you can somehow like cut off the power, if you can weaken it that way or something.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of something else. As Arthur's going through these tunnels, he finds a console. When he goes to the console, there's a little mini game, and the mini game is like Worm.
Snake.
The game, Snake. Not
we
Worm.
All played it on YouTube at one point.
But yeah, it's like a little snake. That's what it was, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like the snake game. It was like a little quick maze thing to do.
Right. Before Arthur hacked into it, Amir Volt said, "Hey, look, there's a console. Hack it if you want a chance to control the Tekrot."
And so, then the devs failed it intentionally.
Yes, they failed intentionally.
Stupid.
Which spawned a horde of Tekrot. So there are pros and cons to doing it, but because they failed it intentionally, we don't know exactly what they mean by control the Tekrot.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing lots of potential there. That could be really cool.
Hopefully we can actually beat it.
Right.
Wait, does that essentially mean hackable infestation?
That's what it seems like.
And my question, I'm curious if we're going to find out, is this the infestation, like you said before, the infestation was cool, or is this something different?
Right. Yeah, we don't really know for sure. They don't say specifically one way or the other.
Think about it. Has the infestation really displayed a necessity to leech off power till now?
Not that we've seen. Not that I know of.
And I understand it would mutate, but why would it so drastically change its genetic biological structure to no longer require that?
It's a good question. Don't know. We'll find out in 1999.
Wow.
Number 1999, Burger King infestation.
Last thing you want your infestation is a Burger King.
Yeah, we want the infestation, just no Burger King, please.
And especially not the infestation foot lettuce.
Infestation's fine, we just don't want the foot lettuce. But one thing that might suggest that the tech rot and the infestation are the same thing is when Arthur's going through the tunnels, he finds the helmet. For those of you, well,
something very similar.
If you're listening to this, then you've seen the helmet in the back of your orbiter. It's essentially that, but it has some sort of tubes going into it. They may be large electrical wires, we don't know. But it's a variation. It's got more teeth than the one in the back of the orbiter.
Ugh.
When Arthur goes up to it, it seems to have some kind of effect on him, like a loud noise or something in his head that he has to overcome to actually get closer to it. But when he does get closer to it, it starts coughing and like gagging.
Ew.
And retching.
Gross.
And then all of a sudden, it
ew.
Vomits out Excalibur.
Wait.
Like a pristine Excalibur before...
I mean, it's got a little slime on it.
A little but... slime. Excalibur before, in lore, Warframes existed.
That's the way it appears, yes. So now, Arthur is standing there and staring at Excalibur.
Would that be his future self, technically?
Not sure.
Did you say he's a proto-Warframe?
Well, we're calling him that.
Yeah, but... fairly confident that the Excalibur that shows up there is actually the Tenno-controlled Warframe.
Oh!
That's my assumption.
I hope so. That'd be cool.
Yeah, there's nothing specifically stating that or evidence towards that. I just think that makes the most sense. So, yeah, they both pull out their exalted blades and slash dash at each other. And they, like, lock swords in the middle.
In a beautiful screenshot pose.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It honestly reminds me of, like, some of my favorite Saberlocks in Star Wars. Or there was a rather famous, like, kind of, like, melee weapon lock in mid-battle scene from one of the Gundam series that I like.
Right. But, yeah, Arthur recognizes that Excalibur is like him. Like, Arthur looks at himself... and then looks at Excalibur and is like, dude, that's me. You're copying me. Stop copying me. But yeah, so that's where the gameplay demo cuts out. And they're like, well, yeah, that's 1999. And then static. And some text shows up on screen. And it says, years in the future. Centuries in the future. Millennia in the future. And then it erases all that and just says, in the future. So DE purposefully went out of their way
to like muddy the water.
Yeah, to not confirm how far in the future present day Warframe is, which I found odd.
We know it's far because in 1999 you have like civilization on Earth in Origin System Time Warframe. All essentially what I would call all form of like normal human civilization has been wiped out from what I can see as far as the maps that we play. Because everywhere we play is either wilderness or some big alien factory production facility, something like that.
Right. But we don't know that for sure.
Yeah, that's assumption.
There could be some kind of something on Earth that degrade stuff quickly.
Yeah.
Or some poison that's changed all the humans to look different.
But I also mean like the structures. You don't find like ruins of like human cities.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah. I just found it odd that they purposefully went out of their way to not be clear about how far in the future the present is compared to
and the creatures are different.
True. Yeah. But we don't see any creatures in 1999, so they could like that already back then.
That is true. Because you already have like something equivalent to Grineer and Tekrot.
Right.
So,
after it shows that little graphic, it shows the Tenno, or the Warframe, the Tenno-controlled Warframe, in their Railjack.
Now, wait. Do you recall when it did the Railjack scene, the sword on the back had the red handkerchief, so...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm pretty sure that was Arthur that we saw. Either Arthur or Arthur died and they took the sword, one of the two.
It's possible, because that's true. Excalibur did have Arthur's sword and the AX-52 as well.
So, my initial thought was that it was Arthur, but we'll see.
Anyway.
Oh, did you hit
no injuries
you hit
on
the Xbox?
Set.
I scratched my arm on it.
Don't make me pay
Rather
workman's
sharp.
Comp.
Please.
I can't afford it.
I can't afford not to have it.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you really want to like fill out any medical anything on workman's comp?
No.
Anyway.
Stop doing that. You wouldn't have hurt yourself.
Anyway.
Back
to Railjack. Excalibur is at the helm of the Railjack. And Cephalon Psi, the ship Cephalon for the Railjack, mentions that the infested instruments are messing with our own. So it is confirmed, infested Railjack, coming with 1999. And I don't want to brag. I want to brag. Last episode, I said, this was before TennoCon, I said it.
Oh, wait, so you did get this on recording?
Oh, yeah. It was
okay,
on recording.
Good, because I thought it was just one of our conversations.
No. I have it on record. I called it infested Railjack. I knew it was going to happen. Now, I will say that's only half of what I was predicting. I was also predicting a full Railjack rework. They haven't mentioned anything about that, so I kind of doubt
that's
coming.
I feel like it'll come.
But at least infested Railjack. So... The Railjack starts flying around, and there are speakers in space that are playing music that's audible, which I didn't think about until now. How are you hearing the noise
space? You could just be in a gas cloud.
It could be in comms.
Yeah, maybe. It could be in comms. It could be in a gas cloud of sorts. So as long as you have some type of material to bounce around, then yeah, you'll have a little bit of sound.
Right. So you fly around, you destroy a couple speakers, and you notice there's this kind of nest looking thing. It's a bunch of vines with a red glow underneath it. And once you destroy all of the speakers, the vines peel back, they roll back and reveal underneath there is a stadium, like a legit stadium. You go to the stadium as your Warframe. This is the part in TennoCon where they announced that you can actually have a skin for your Warframe called a Gemini skin. The Gemini skin allows you to take your Warframe and convert it into the protoframe version of the Warframe as a skin, and it is fully voice acted as well.
Yeah, so you will permanently be able to experience Arthur or any of the other protoframes that have a skin in the normal game.
Right, the whole rest of the game.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Fully voiced.
And if I understand correctly, that skin is separately customized.
Oh.
If I understand correctly.
I hope that's right.
Because that would be
so
cool.
It probably is because it will have different stuff to customize. Like you have like tactical straps and stuff.
Right.
Which ones do you think you'll use specifically?
Arthur.
Yeah, I think Amir is probably one I'm going to be using more than the others. But yeah, it has like its own cutscene where you transition from the regular Warframe to the protoframe. And they're going to have this for each of the protoframes. So Excalibur, Volt, Mag, Trinity, Cyto9. I'm missing someone important. Nyx? Did I say Nyx already? Nyx. All of the protoframes are going to have that Gemini skin, and they're all going to be fully voice acted, which is awesome. They also announced that there's going to be a light rework of Trinity and Nyx.
Wait, that's going to be weird because then that means your operator is controlling a person.
We've done it before.
Have we?
In Whispers in the Walls, we controlled Arthur.
Did we?
For a short period of time, yes, we did.
Okay.
Anyway, so, yeah.
Wait, we controlled Arthur.
Yeah.
The hand sequence at the beginning where he types the...
Maybe it was us.
Oh.
Oh. Maybe we were talking to him.
Whoa!
Maybe that's why we told him to go to that place, because he went and...
Met us?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That came together a little too well.
3D chess level moves by us. Okay. We're so smart.
Also, one moment on the scene that we were building in the Railjack. Keep in mind, the whole scene, like, going through as you're getting to the stadium, all you hear is the Party of Your Life song the whole time.
You hear the in space, when you're destroying the speakers, you're hearing that Party of Your Lifetime song. When you get in, it gets louder. And also, there you can hear a crowd. So, not sure what's up with that. We'll see. But you go... You enter the stadium, and there's lights going off, and the crowd is cheering, and the song is playing. And then you look up above the stage. There are five infested, like, pustules. What do you call them? Like,
well,
cysts?
It was similar to, like, the tubes that...
Yeah, it kind of looked like the helmet, sort of.
Yeah.
They open up, and down drop... infested liches. But not only...
Very unique infested liches.
They're not just infested liches. They are the boy band that's singing the song.
No!
And they are the infested liches that can fight. They look so cool. What kind of update is 1999? Dating sim, human warframes, time travel... Zombie boy bands.
Future and past.
Future and past.
Potential time travel shenanigans.
Oh, certain time travel shenanigans.
Like dating sim time travel shenanigans.
Yeah. Can you, like, you know, having a long distance relationship? Imagine having long distance relationship between time.
A better question, what is it not?
Yeah, what is it not?
I will say, out of every single awesome thing y'all have named up until this point, you know the thing I'm most excited about?
Daisy.
No.
The rat that Trinity had.
No. Anybody else?
The liches.
I am most excited about having the ability to favorite anything you would like in your inventory.
That doesn't even come in 1999. That comes before 1999.
I'm very simplistic, and I really enjoy that fact, and I'm happy it's coming earlier, because the complexity of the game is what perturbs me from playing it continuously, but if they do that, it'll make it at least a little bit easier to navigate, especially after you decide what you're going to use
make it
most
way
of the
easier.
Time. Anyway... Back to you on the new stuff. I thought that was going to be in this one, so I just wanted to throw in my two cents. Like, that's weird. It's a small thing, but for me, that's the best
thing
ever.
But hey, it means you're getting that sooner rather than later. Also, didn't it previously kind of work? Like, it was whatever weapon... It was your weapons were, like, based on how recent you used them, where they were positioned?
No, it keeps whatever you're using currently, and you could make presets that were preloaded that you could swap between. But you couldn't favorite items.
I'm excited about that too, but, you know, bigger stuff I'm more excited about.
Right. So after that reveal, they only had one thing left, and they pulled up, they went to, like, one of those old modem router computers, and it was making the noises and all that, and there was a single text file.
You've got mail. You've got hate mail.
Yeah. Your hate mailbox is full. There's a single text document on the desktop, and it says release date .txt, and they click it and open it up, and it's blank, and they type in Warframe 1999 coming this winter, and they don't give a date. I'm like, that's kind of frustrating. I'm expecting it to come early December.
Which part of winter?
Does it mean winter or December?
It said winter. So that's pretty much all they showed in TennoCon. But there's one thing they didn't show. They didn't really show this Hulvania Central Mall, the Relay. And it has, let's just say it's got something that's a big deal.
I know what you're talking about now.
Is it what I'm thinking of?
Yes, I think. Maybe. It should be.
It's what I'm thinking of.
This is, like, absolutely insane. Okay, so, just a little minor thing. Half-Life in Warframe.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Yeah, like, I was thinking about, you know, the implications of this. Half-Life is in the same universe as Portal. So, Cephalon GLaDOS win?
That would be cool.
That would be insane. But yeah, I know this is impossible, but what if Cephalon Samaris was actually GLaDOS, and that's why he's so obsessed with science and research and knowledge and all that?
Or maybe he's Cave Johnson.
That's more likely. That would be so cool.
Don't worry, it'd be Carolyn, because, you know.
No, Carolyn got deleted.
That's what it says.
Carolyn became GLaDOS, then got deleted.
But then GLaDOS was still operational, so...
Yeah, because GLaDOS was like the new personality.
GLaDOS was operational, but Carolyn was not.
But, Once You Gone says Carolyn is in here too, which is after Carolyn was deleted. So...
True. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, just a little bit earth-shattering, the fact that they got official Half-Life...
Yeah.
Trademark? Like, how did they do that? And also, that has got to be significant. That can't be just like, oh, what if we put Half-Life merch in the game? Wow. So much got announced. There's so much still to come. You know, the fact that you can almost forget that there's two whole updates before 1999?
The fact that you can forget that there's an entire game aside from 1999.
Yeah, like, it's insane. So, I think that's pretty much it for what they covered in TennoCon. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Stardust, any last thoughts?
Excitement. I really like these character designs. So for me, and nothing against the existing ones, this is the first set that feel like real serious as far as human characters, character designs for me. Mm. Because the Operator and Drifter were interesting, but not like that, like...
Not normal?
Not that character design that just catches your eye and you're like, oh, that's cool. At least for me. And yeah. That's a taste thing.
I agree. Mitchell, any parting thoughts?
Not really. I can't think of anything except for what I said earlier about what I'm most excited about, and it didn't even come out in that update. It comes out in that update beforehand, which is awesome.
Overall, as a new player, would you be excited to hop into this game?
From how y'all are explaining it, I am thoroughly excited for when I do pick up the game again. I understand I will need to go through quite a bit to get to that point, but it sounds interesting, and it's like...
You could probably speedrun it. I don't think it's that long.
It's like a lot of content, but the content is incredibly diverse, and that's what makes it cool.
Yeah. I mean, even not from a player standpoint, but from a game dev aspect, like, imagine adding all this to a game that's already running without breaking everything.
It's incredible, and I really enjoy it, and it's something where... Like I said, because it's so diverse, it's one of those things that catches the eye, catches the attention, keeps your attention for a much longer time than it would be if it was just a standard game update where they add a couple of things here and there to hopefully not break the game, which most...
Destiny.
Yeah, most of the time, small things or even things that are medium-sized that change the gameplay, that make it fun or that add things to it, it normally ends up having tons and tons and tons and tons of bugs or glitches. And this is just really cool to see, and I'm excited to see how it holds up whenever it comes out.
And I mean, it's gonna have bugs.
Oh, yeah.
There's really no getting around that.
No doubt.
But
they fix it.
Yeah.
It seems like they got a good team for it.
The other thing is like Warframe's essentially like a collection at this point.
Right. Like
it's one game, but it's a collection.
Can you even call it one game at this point?
I know, but like as far as like buying it in your library and installing it, it's one game.
Yeah.
But as soon as you open it up, it's a collection.
And free to play.
That's insane. Like, the fact that this is 100% free, like, I know I keep going back to Destiny, but Destiny fairly consistently puts out updates and they, you know, add new content. But first of all, it's not a whole lot of content. Second of all, you have to pay for it.
Yeah, you have to have DLCs to access certain parts of the game.
Like a mobile game.
I even saw footage in Destiny, what was Destiny 2, where somebody actually, if they had had the DLC, it would have saved them from dying.
Another really bad thing about Destiny 2 is they sunset content. DLCs that you paid for, they make them
poof.
Unplayable.
No.
Yeah. Yep. They take, like, story missions, like campaigns, and make, like, they condense it into, like, one short recap mission.
No, why? Okay, and we've brushed over some of Warframe's more predatory
right.
areas as far as pricing and stuff for microtransactions. But bottom line, even though there are some predatory actions with, like, you can buy resources and certain packs and stuff like that, you can play and access pretty much everything in this game completely free.
All content is 100% free.
Yeah, 100% free. You may have to work your tail off and be extremely patient for some of it, but it's extremely free.
Right. Yeah, you can get skins and stuff that you can pay for, but even, you know, 85% of the paid content, you can get the premium currency without having to pay for it.
Like, the only exceptions are some of the Tenogen, but that's cosmetic, not right. gameplay.
Well, I mean, also, would you call it predatory if it's not mandatory?
The only thing we call predatory is the fact that you can use the premium currency to just buy crafting resources.
Yes. And, I mean, that wouldn't be so bad if it was at least somewhat reasonable.
Yeah, it's not a reasonable price at all. What was the price again?
It was 30 plat for 300 plastids.
You can farm 300 plastids or more in a single mission.
Yeah, like 5 minutes.
5 minutes. You can get 300 plat.
Yeah, or if you use a 4-in-1 frame, probably way better.
And you cannot sell said plastids on the player market yourself. Right. See, if we're talking, like, because there is a player market, if we're talking prime parts for prime versions of Warframes, you can farm those up yourself and sell them for platinum.
So it's effectively too much. They overcharge you for resources if you go to buy resources. And the only thing it really affects would be technically the player market, which could be horrible, but at the same time, predatory isn't the phrase I would use for it.
Well, the main thing is players who know what they're doing would never buy that. Mm-hmm. It's targeted at players who don't know any better.
New players. Okay,
I get that.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand where your headspace is now.
You know, if you've been playing for 100 hours, you know, 300 plastids isn't worth 30 plastids.
Or if you just have friends that tell you.
Yeah, meanwhile, yeah, unlike oh startups. My goodness, can you imagine, wait, what?
Hey, huh?
Can you imagine, like, if, like, because, you know, you need Oxium pretty early on in the game.
Right.
And it's like, you've got to have it to progress just about it. Yeah. Or it's a real pain if you can't find it. Can you imagine if they offered, like, a similar pricing option for, like, plastids are a thing later on, but by that point, you know, you've grinded the game enough, you know a little bit more. But, like, Oxium, you could get some people with that.
But, yeah.
That should be the actual closing thoughts.
No, we were on closing thoughts.
Or closing thoughts?
I didn't do mine, though.
I think I've given enough. I think I'll let them finish.
More closing thoughts, Mitchell?
That's all I've got. I can't think of anything else. Good points all around. I understand how it works now. In agreeance. So, yeah.
First closing thoughts, Jacob?
Yeah, you just hit me. Warframe's back. All right.
Don't ask. Is that from something? I asked.
90s kids will understand.
I've heard it, but I don't remember what it's from.
Then they'll get it.
The old people will get it.
I remember back in 1492. I'm Batman.
Batman Warframe win.
Oh. Spider-Man Warframe win.
Technically Ash, but...
Yeah, Ash and Vauban.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Warframe win.
Valkyr, kinda.
You said we all have Spider-Man Warframe?
Ivara, technically. one of Ivara's abilities.
I feel like Valkyr more because the rip line is more like the swinging.
We have Wolverine already, so why not Spider-Man? Hmm. I mean, you said you wanted a spider warframe, so that would be for your Spider-Man.
Yeah. Spider frame.
Spider frame.
Does whatever.
I mean, you already made frame. You already made Octavia make a Spider-Man song.
Shoots a web from it.
Imagine they release spider frame and it's too buggy.
That was not funny. Go back in the corner. Here, Mitchell, you get out of the corner. Stardust, go back and go to that corner.
Yay. Yeah.
Well, I had some closing thoughts, but then I forgot what they were.
Are they about this time or next time?
Because it got derailed.
But yeah.
Anyway, now you thought of it.
Yeah, so that's going to wrap up this episode. Be sure to tune in next time to hear Larry say,
Yarg, or whatever.
I kind of want to do that again. Tune in next time to hear Stardust say,
It wasn't as good that time.
Tune in next time to hear Mitchell say, and you said the last one was nasty.
I don't like the last one. You can do that one, but the last one was horrible.
Oh my goodness.
Tune in next time to hear Jacob say,
I can smear you.
Jacob makes me uncomfortable now.
Tune in next time to hear me say, hey, welcome to Railjack Ruffians, little housekeeping.
What?
I don't know what I'm going to say next time.
Find out next time!
Yeah, find out what I don't know next time. Yeah.
Tune in next time to hear me say, I don't know.
And tune in next time to find out what I came up with to say.